May the love of God enfold us, the wisdom of Jesus enlighten us, and the fire of the Holy Spirit inflame us. Amen. I have to begin by saying thank you. Thank you for being here this morning. Because on a day like today, I need to be with community. I need the sacraments of the church. I need to hear the word proclaimed, and I need to do it with other faithful people. I, like so many of you, am heartbroken, truly heartbroken today. Yesterday's mass shooting in El Paso was bad enough, but then to wake up this morning to news of what happened in our close neighbor Dayton, I don't have words. I'm frustrated, I'm angry, I'm depressed, and I'm verging on feeling hopeless, something that's really hard for me to feel. I've addressed this so often. I've brought out my orange soul, which so many of you commented on, saying, oh, I love that. And I'm thinking, no, you should not love this. This is the stole that I got from a colleague in Cleveland the first time that the clergy of the Diocese of Ohio decided to observe a gun violence awareness Sunday. And it's one of the few things that I can do today to remind us that as glorious as our worship is here together, that our world is very, very broken. Because I've preached so many sermons over the years about this topic, I just don't know what to say anymore. So I'm going to go on with most of the sermon that I was preparing yesterday when word first broke about what the tragedy and horror unfolding in Texas. It may not seem to directly connect, but I do believe that the gospel for today, as well as the first reading from Hosea, which, given my thoughts now, I would go back and rewrite a sermon based on the letter, the book of Hosea's reading for today. But hopefully you will follow along and we will get to the point of realizing why I think this sermon is still so very, very important for us today. George Carlin, the comedian, in 1981 released an album called A Place for My Stuff. I was reminded of it in reading a commentary on today's gospel. I'm not going to try to imitate Carlin because he is inimitable. However, I'll read you just a couple of lines from that sketch. Stuff is important, Carlin says. You gotta take care of your stuff. You gotta have a place for your stuff. That's what life is all about. Trying to find a place for your stuff. That's all your house is, a place for your stuff. He goes on to talk about how houses are just a place to cover the stuff, and to talk about how we find the need from time to time to move to accommodate our stuff. It's the modern day equivalent of the wealthy landowner's problem in today's parable. Instead of building more barns, we build larger houses. Or, in lieu of being able to afford a McMansion, we rent a storage locker, or two, or three, because our house can't contain all our stuff. And just like the landowner, we are worried and anxious about our stuff, about caring for it, about protecting it. We have to face the reality that we are possessed by our possessions. It's hard to admit, as the good church-going folk that we are often just as self-centered as every other person who does not proclaim belief in any deity, that about our accumulated possessions, we're just as self-centered as the landowner who gives no thought to anyone around him. The first person singular pronoun, I, appears six times in three short sentences, up to the point where God enters the scene of the parable and reminds the landowner and all of us who are listening that we never know how long we have to protect our stuff, something that the victims of yesterday's tragedies know all too well, as do their families. It's a reality we don't like to acknowledge. We do everything possible in our power, including acquiring more stuff, so that we don't have to face that truth, that we are given life in this form for a season, and that we leave this world as we entered it, without any possessions. So why is it that we're so possessed by acquiring stuff? I don't think it's just the basic sinful human nature and inclination towards self-centeredness that the landowner displays. There's also been a shift in our culture over the last few centuries that has led to our intense need for possessions. We've moved away from caring for each other in families or small groups and instead rely on larger systems to take care of us. Along with that, the Industrial Revolution made it possible to produce lots and lots of stuff. And then in the 20th century, we perfected how to produce all that stuff very inexpensively. Instead of having one really good coat that lasts many, many years, we now feel compelled to buy multiple inexpensive coats that may last only a season or two. This change from being a family-centered, small group, community-centered life to being a consumer society is described brilliantly by John McKnight and Peter Block in their book, The Abundant Community: Awakening the Power of Families and Neighborhoods, and I would also add congregations. McKnight and Block, who coincidentally both know about what's happened in Westwood in recent years, since Peter Block lives here in Cincinnati, and John McKnight has visited here often, including visiting Westwood, they've done lots and lots of work to encourage the use of asset-based community development. They begin their book by saying that the essential promise of a consumer society is that satisfaction can be purchased. They go on to describe the shift from our being a culture of citizens of a community who care for one another to being consumers of goods. And this has led us to the scarcity mentality and reliance we have now on professionals to solve all of our problems. McKnight and Block make the case for a countercultural return to a focus on community. This is how they say it. The way to the good life is not through consumption. It is instead a path that we make by walking it with those who surround us. It is the way of a competent community recognizing its abundance. We absolutely must do this work if we are to find solutions to the major challenges we are facing this day, whether it is the scourge of gun violence or crime, or housing or jobs, health care and accessibility of healthy food, caring for those who are differently abled physically or mentally, that list that goes on and on that you all can recite. While McKnight and Block address their book to a very wide audience, not necessarily to a religious audience, it does not take much to connect their message to the gospel. I have no doubt whatsoever that they would readily agree with Jesus in this morning's gospel, who says, "One's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." That shift from being possessed by our stuff towards living more fully into an abundant community is not easy for any of us. If it was, we would have done it already. We have to begin instead with the baby steps, with those small acts that build community instead of reinforcing individualism and consumerism. It might mean shopping local, recycling more, sharing tools, the things that we're doing here at St. James with Jammin' at the James, and our work with Gamble Montessori High School, and all that is happening in Westwood and in Cincinnati. Just a side note that last night's Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra, Look Around, was an amazing encounter with asset-based community development as they use the assets of this city to show all of us that there is much, much more than what meets the eye on a usual basis. We will all learn to be rich toward God as we learn to share our resources with each other. And that's not something that we can do on our own. In fact, thinking that we can do it on our own is succumbing to the consumer model and antithetical to the gospel when we think we can solve everything by ourselves. If we could do that, then we would have no need of a savior. And since Jesus isn't here in the flesh to provide direct guidance, we must rely on one another, seeing the presence of Christ in each other, hearing the voice of Jesus speaking through the mouths of others. So I leave you with a question to ponder this day. How do we assist one another in this congregation and beyond in contributing to the shift from being greedy individuals possessed by our possessions to being an ever more abundant community, to being the beloved community of that God dreams for us to be? Think, pray, and then act.